Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
One SEC program has hit a new low. I mean a new low for every program in college football. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday, and players bouncing hither and yon around college football to multiple rosters, it is not a thing anymore. Even a kid on his third team, that's not a big deal. The wide receiver from Bowling Green, Garrett Dieter, do you remember that name? He was a high school recruit who originally signed with Southern Methodist. Then he transferred from SMU to Bowling Green. And then he had graduated and had a year of eligibility remaining, and he decided that's when he went to Alabama. But he had to get a special waiver. I don't think, have we ever talked about this? Do we all know this? There was a rule in the NCAA rule book. There was a rule that if you had already enrolled at two universities that each offered a four-year football program, not like a JUCO, for instance, that was it. You could only play at two. You had to get a waiver. You had to apply and get a waiver. Garrett Dieter did that. Folks, a third school, please. You remember Nate Craig Myers? Can we DeLorean back to signing day, February? I want to say this is 2016. Signed with Auburn. That kid might have been a five-star receiver. If he wasn't, he was a high four-star receiver. And kid out of Florida, and just, I mean, you look grown man. And I believe he had a cousin that was already at Auburn. Maybe his brother was there, whatever. I can't remember, and I'm not trying to be dismissive, but it's not important. So he signs with Auburn, plays a couple of years, but doesn't really play, goes out to Colorado State. I remember seeing him on TV. I was like, oh, Nate Craig Myers. As a freshman, he looked like he should have been in the NFL already. He's wearing an Auburn jersey. Should have been wearing a Vikings jersey. Colorado State, I was like, yep, that's still Nate. I mean, like, he had sort of an old man, like a receding hairline and some, like, craggy face, you know. I was like, he's not 19, whatever. I saw he's back in the portal. He played, let's see, 16, 17, 18, 19. 20 was his fifth season, but it didn't count. So 21, he will play one more year at a third school. It will be his sixth season. Now, I got to admit, I didn't really deep dive. And as I'm recalling, he's had two kind of okay seasons. One kind of okay season at Auburn where he had about 15 catches. And then one kind of okay season at Colorado State where he had about 30. Man, he looks the part. All right, if you called up Dr. Frankenstein and ordered a wide receiver, and I don't mean a Saturday wide receiver. I mean, you're the Detroit Lions. Hey, we need a receiver. There's a chance. Amazon. Oh, good. Because, you know, the Lions, they joined Prime. They paid the $99. So that's who they would deliver. Kid hadn't produced anything yet. But he's got one more go around, and he says, you know what? Colorado Springs didn't work out for me. I'm going to go find a landing spot. I have no idea what he's thinking. Not transferring, I get that. I'm saying I have no idea which direction he's thinking. He may look and say, I need to go down to like the Rhode Island level and dominate. He may be thinking, well, finally, somebody like Southern Cal is going to look at me and let me take my talents to Los Angeles. I have no idea which direction he's considering. It ain't even a story, people. He's a former 5-star receiver from the Southeastern Conference who's going to play a 6th year at a 3rd school, and it ain't a story. So I'm not picking on anybody here. You really have to do something, I'll say, never before seen to get my attention when it comes to transfers, portals, player mobility, etc. That's Tennessee. Saw a number yesterday, and I went back and started verifying best I could. When I say best I could, that's actually not true. I was doing it off the top of my head, and I got about 85% of the way there, and I was like, close enough. I believe it. Saw a number yesterday that since the end of the regular season, since Jeremy Pruitt was fired, essentially, pick whatever mark in time you choose, the Tennessee Volunteers football program has lost 25 players to the transfer portal. Folks, that's a recruiting class. That is an entire recruiting class. I've never seen that. I've never even heard it. Outside of, well, here, okay, SMU, second reference. And there have been a couple of others. But like when SMU, they got the death penalty, I think that was like February of 88. And 87 maybe? The NCAA said, hey, this team that just won 9 games, every player on that team is a free agent. Outside of that, I've never seen a program lose this many players. On the list behind it, there was a program with, I don't know, like 17 players, and then one with 11, and then 25 players. It's an entire recruiting class. There are players who will step in to fill that gap. I'm putting an over-under on combined wins the next 2 seasons at 8.5. Hitting 9 will be a bit of an accomplishment. And keep in mind, folks, that the team's toughest non-conference game, I declare, is a home date versus Army next September. That's their hardest non-conference game. They got 2 against Pitt, and Pitt's a quality opponent. I think Army's better. And you got them at home, and I think that's your toughest non-conference. And I'm saying if you hit 9, it'll be a little bit of an accomplishment. That means you're going to have to beat Vanderbilt, which is attainable. Combined wins the next 2 years, 8.5. That's what – and it's not because the kids who are there are below caliber. It's because they're not high enough caliber in the Southeastern Conference, especially the emerging East, and you certainly aren't going to have enough of them. So it is a new – I have never seen that – many players on an exodus other than when the NCAA says everybody can leave. That's the difference. The players in Knoxville, they're deciding to leave.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today. It's time for The Game Plan with College Football Hall of Famer Joe Hamilton.
Touchdown, Georgia Tech. Nobody throws a fade better than Joe Hamilton.
Presented by Low T Nation. Get your game plan ready for optimized health at lowteenation.com.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Thursday, 9 states, 51 sticks, 2 hours of college football talk every single day. Want to welcome on College Football Hall of Famer Joe Hamilton. And Joe, first of all, how you doing today, amigo?
Yes, doing outstanding, Chuck. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm good. I appreciate you making time for us today. And I want to start with something that doesn't have anything to do with college football. You and I have talked off the air several times. Give me an update. You're still very new, but give me an update on your emerging Big Green Egg resume. You are expanding your palate a little bit.
Yeah, I am, Chuck, and I just did my first Boston butt. I pulled it together. It was a 12-hour cook.
Oh.
Using that bio boy pretty good, and I'm learning that the key to mastering the Big Green Egg is you must have patience.
I knew it.
And I'm just learning how to do a brine. So I'm a newcomer, man, but I'm learning fast.
Okay, so you're the freshman who, like Ralph Regan is swearing, no, they're going to block for you. You have to wait another half count. That's what you just got to have a little patience. You got to trust the process, don't you?
Yes, and not be a know-it-all. And that's one thing I've been humbling myself, that I've been cooking before and I've been grilling before, but I know nothing. I am a freshman in the Big Green Egg. And just like you said about a month back or 2 months back when I first got it, the egg will do it. It's cooking by itself. You don't necessarily need to help it.
No. It was doing it for years and years and years before Chuck Oliver ever got involved. But the cool part is, if anybody who's over at the house and doesn't have an egg, they don't know how easy the egg makes it on whoever's cooking it. And so I just take all the credit. Anyway, Joe Hamm with us on Thursdays, brought to you by Low T Nation. And I want to ask you about, I was saying you're a freshman at Georgia Tech, and there were a lot of reasons you went there. I mean, you're a kid from South Carolina, and you got, first of all, an offer at a world-class education, and that is part of why you went to Georgia Tech. If you get a degree from Tech, you get employed. That's just how it is.
Right.
But secondly, you know, Ralph Regan, blah, blah, all of that stuff, there were so many reasons, you know, a heritage program. If name, image, and likeness had been a thing when you were coming out of high school, Joe, talk about the difference between going to Georgia Tech, and I'll be honest, going to a place in a more rural spot like virtually every place in the SEC, you can still overcome that because of brand, but if you're in downtown Atlanta or Knoxville or Las Vegas, name, image, likeness changes all of that for recruiting.
It certainly does, and then you're going to have to lean on the former players a little bit more, especially if name, image, and likeness had been going on probably 5 years before you became a senior, before you were getting recruited. You would want to go back and ask guys that came through a program, how do they really treat you? Is it fair enough? Fair enough. If you're the top player on that team, where they try to maximize your dollars, what about compliance? Are they holding you down? Would it be balanced as far as the third-string center making the same amount of money as the starting quarterback? All those things come into play, but also what will still stand the test of time, Chuck, is the fact that you have to play well. I still want name, image, and likeness to kind of look that way, that the guys that's playing well, the go-to guys that can capitalize, that can go to the dealerships, that can have signings, autograph signings, that can make money, they need to stand head and shoulders above all. Now, I want everybody to get paid, but I also want the guys, as far as what's bringing in the most money to the schools, to get a little bit more, get a bigger piece of the pot than just anybody that's playing on the team.
Continue with Joe Hamm. Talk to him every single Thursday. Brought to you by Low T Nation. The other end of the spectrum, and I just can't imagine it for this kid. Justin Foster, huge recruit at Clemson. And he had a really, really tough like calendar year in 2020, not the season. He retired. He's a senior, and this is a kid who, I mean, he didn't say a whole lot about football. He said, I still have a ways to go, but I think I'll recover. He says, I'm confident. He ain't talking about football. He's talking about, the pneumonia, allergies, asthma, COVID, all of that for a kid who was a five-star that literally could have gone anywhere in America, and he's got to walk away at, like, age 21.
And I feel a little bit better about him, Foster, right now, Chuck, because he wasn't on a real, real trajectory as far as seeing that money yet. Mm-hmm. He still was in high school. He wasn't in college. He hadn't been on the scene. So now when you're that young and you have to change paths, now you have to set another goal of what you want to do in life, how you're going to make money, find a new passion. I think he has a lot of time as opposed to that happening to him after he was out of college. He's been in the NFL a little bit longer and didn't have to change profession or change passion. That's a little bit different. To have that happen to him right now and able to just, you know, cry in his four walls, yep, put that man in the middle and be a little bit of disappointing, because that's going to come. No matter who you are, when your lifelong dream is to make it to the NFL, play college football, and it's snatched away from you because of the decision you have to make, that's going to be brutal. But I think now he's going to have enough time and enough resources to change his mindset to become successful in something else. And his attitude, the way he attacked football, he's going to be able to attack his second career or his second profession the same way.
Wrapping up with Joe Hamilton, College Football Hall of Famer. I've told you, man, I've seen the Super Bowl ring. If you have an ashtray handy, just put that ashtray on your finger, all right? That's what the thing looks like. So he is a champion. They have him every Thursday, brought to you by Logi Nation. Joe, last thing for you. I'm going to tell you what we, and I'm saying media, fans, people who never play quarterback, what we always say about a quarterback, because we've heard it said and we just parrot it. A QB with a different play caller or OC or head coach from the previous year versus what it really is to a QB. We always say, oh, the new terminology, he's got to learn a new system. He's got third OC in five seasons or whatever. Talk the reality about that terminology or the new sets format. Talk about what it really is for the quarterback, because we all assume it's this Mount Everest. And I don't want to lead you either way. Just talk about the reality of that, because you had to live through it.
Yeah, the reality of it is that you want to be able to look to that sideline and finish off a play call. You want to be able to look to that sideline on third and four, and because of film study, because of preparation throughout the week, that you're on the same page with your offensive coordinator. And that does not come without the exception of practicing, being in the meeting rooms with that coach, that coordinator, with that quarterback coach, understanding his philosophies, understanding where he wants you to go to with the football in a particular play call. For example, you might have four different eligibles on a different concept, but that coordinator is not wanting you to go to all four of them. He's calling that particular play because of a situation that y'all talked about.
Yeah.
That goes along with knowing that coordinator. He knows your strength. And it also goes along with that Friday meeting, a full game. Nothing we all see, that the quarterback and the quarterback coach and the coordinator, they're sitting down. And the things that you don't like, you don't feel comfortable, the good coaches will throw it right out. They don't if, ands, and buts. They don't argue with you. If you're not comfortable with it, you best believe we're not calling that on Saturday, because it's not going to be successful because you don't believe in it. And what the coordinators want in the quarterback is when you get in that huddle, whatever play is called, you call it with an enthusiasm, you call it with an energy, you call it with an excitement that it's going to work. And you don't get that unless you have good communication with your coordinators.
Well, Joe, I don't have any energy or excitement for you doing this on the phone, all right? You have to be in studio next time, agreed?
Yeah, I must be in the studio. I can't wait to see you again, Chuck.
All right, Joe Ham, we'll do it again in 7 days, brother. Thank you so much.
Take care, brother.
All right, Joe Hamilton again, College Football Hall of Famer, visits us every single Thursday. And you know that we all say the same stuff, and the reason is because, see, there are so many things in life that we believe. There are so many things that we know that you can't even give a good guess about when you learned that or when you were first exposed to it. You know, Chuck, where were you born? Houston, Texas? When did you first know? I don't know. It's just one of those innate things that you know. When we talk about a quarterback on TV doing color on a game, and he says, well, he's got a new OC from last year. Well, we're going to trust that guy knows it. I don't know the first time I heard a guy on TV say it, but I know that I've heard it over and over and over and over and over, and so we all repeat it. Is the terminology different? Yes, almost always. Is it something you can overcome? Sure. It's buffalo. Now you're going to say bison. That's just kind of what it is. So, you know, we always put so much on that, and it certainly doesn't make it easier. But, again, it's one of those things where it's attainable. I don't say easy, but I say attainable. And it's like everything else about playing quarterback at that level. Got to work real hard at it and apply skill, preparation, everything. All right, take a break. Back next.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Show continuing on a Thursday, and I got to be honest, for all the good reasons, there are other programs that fit in this category, but for all the good reasons, I can't get enough of Texas A&M this offseason. I mean, just like sitting around thinking about how that program is going to move forward, it really should be that next step year, but you lose a starting quarterback about 3.5 seasons, you lose 4 out of 5 members on the offensive line. You do have your starting left tackle back. He was your starting left guard after being your starting right guard. And I believe he'll be the tackle. But believe me, there's plenty of good news in College Station. But there are also a lot of questions, again, for the program that if you're looking at the trajectory, all right, this is supposed to be the year. And you're like, oh, yeah, context. Want to welcome on right now, man, who does a great job covering them. Has for a long time, too, from Rivals. It's our good buddy Mark Passwaters. Mark, how are you today?
Hey, Chuck, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. Did I summarize the situation in College Station pretty well there?
Yeah, I think you got it about right. You know, there's a lot of good stuff. You take a look at the defense especially. You return 9 of 11 starters. You got a lot of experience there. You're going to have a lot more weapons on offense. They probably have the best running back core in the conference, maybe the country. You know, it really comes down to 5 guys, the quarterback and the 4 replacement offensive linemen. If those guys are good, then they're going to be really good.
And as far as the quarterback goes, Jimbo has gotten in some specific recruits that he targeted. There aren't a lot of consolation prizes on scholarship at quarterback for Jimbo Fisher ever. Well, I didn't get this guy. Well, let's go to my 5th guy. That's not really how he operates. Just give us an overview of maybe, is it 2 guys or is it actually 3 that will compete?
I think it's 2 guys. It's Haynes King and the repeat freshman, if you're looking at it from the perspective of not losing a year of eligibility. And Zach Calzada, a guy not too far from y'all there in Atlanta.
Yeah.
those are the two guys. Eli Stowers is going to be very good, but he's a true freshman. And you know as well as anybody that Jimbo's offense is not one that you just plug and play. It takes some time. And I think that it's going to be the two veterans. And I think that really right now King has a pretty significant lead. Now, keep in mind, I'm also the guy that said Jameel Showers was going to be the quarterback in 2012. So
slight miss.
You know, yeah, just a slight error there. You know, some guy named Manziel showed up and did really well. You know, King has a lot of the things that you want. He's got the size. He's got speed. Actually, he's one of the fastest guys on the team. He's faster than Mond was, so they'll have those quarterback run plays at their disposal again. He's got a good arm. He's got accuracy. He's a coach's kid, and that gets beaten into the ground. But in this case, you know, it really is true. It's an advantage because he understands how to deal with somebody like Fisher, who is notoriously difficult on his quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's the guy.
I want to ask you, and I don't mean to disrespect this kid. I keep bouncing back and forth. It's Anias Smith, is that right?
Yes, Anias Smith.
All right, sometimes it's Anias, and I'm like, no, that was the defensive back. He's in the hall. Anias Smith, what is his role going to be? Because I know what he showed up as, and I know what he got forced to be used as, and I think, honestly, he may be – he's not Kadarius Toney because there's a whole lot more carries in his 2021 and whatever he has left, but – he is as versatile an offensive weapon as I think they're going to find in the SEC this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the comparisons to Percy Harvin are not inaccurate.
Wow.
He's a guy. Yeah, he's a – I don't know if he's going to be a first-round pick, but you're talking about a guy that if you take a look at what he's done his first two seasons, you know, both as a running back and as a receiver, you know, the numbers are pretty eye-popping. He averages – you know, I think he had something like 10 touchdowns total last year between running back and receiver. And, you know, he's one of those guys that you can just really plug and play. If you need a running back, put him back there. You need a slot receiver, put him out there. And I think that his biggest asset to the team next year will be in the slot. I think that's where the biggest need is. But I think you'll see him in the backfield again because, you know, honestly, the guy averaged 6 yards a carry.
Yep.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And I want to ask you how surprised you were. And sometimes I just get I have a bias based on what a kid is listed as. But when a kid is listed as a wide receiver, I don't care if it's right or not. I don't think that he can handle the pounding of carrying the ball, much less very often, much less in a conference like the SEC. Anias Smith, it wasn't just two or three carries a game either. Were you surprised that he was able to withstand that pounding?
Yes, I was. I was really surprised. But then again, you know, it's difficult to hurt a guy if you can't hit him. And that's the thing with him. He is so elusive. He's an extremely gifted athlete, a very smart kid. So he has a great ability to avoid the big hit. And I think that served him extremely well as a running back. And, you know, he's a great change of pace for Isaiah Spiller, but then again, so's Devin Achane. So, you know, that's why I think that he'll be more of a slot receiver next year because they're going to need that explosiveness at receiver that he can bring.
Okay, now I'm going to change it again. I've been saying Achane. It's Achane?
Yeah, I was saying Achane too, but it's Achane.
Okay, now I don't feel so bad. All right, talk about him because, I mean, is he the fastest kid on the roster?
Well, apparently when they ran 40s the other day, he must not have been there because King was the fastest guy on the roster. But then again, Achane's also running track right now. He's running the 200 meters for a top five in the nation program. So that tells you something right there. And this kid has really blistering speed, and that was on display in the Orange Bowl for sure. And he's another one of those guys, like a Smith, that every time he gets the ball, he's a threat to take it the distance. And that's one of the things that makes this 2021 team so intriguing is they have an awful lot of explosive players, you know, even some at positions you wouldn't normally expect.
Wrapping up, Mark Passwaters from Rivals talking Aggies. All right. I know this guy. Oh, I know who it is. I don't know him. And you'll know the answer. But do you think, I mean, like literally like 10% of people listening right now have any idea who the Aggies OC is? And Mark, the fact that he's been the OC since Jimbo hired him, since Jimbo showed up and hired him.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. When you say the name, people are probably going to be like, really? It's him? Because it's Daryl Dickey.
Daryl Dickey, yeah.
This is a guy that has a very impressive resume in his own right. I mean, he did a great job at Memphis. He was a head coach at North Texas, and they had good offenses there. But really, he has slid in into the role of advisor and, you know, coordinator with Jimbo very well. You know, you don't hear a whole lot about it, and everybody praises Jimbo for the offense.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that probably is a voice of reason at time when Jimbo tends to get into his play calling runs. You know, he can sit there and say, you know, we may not want to try that.
Oh, absolutely. And, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that having that veteran experienced and honestly trusted ear is a great benefit for not just Jimbo, but for the whole team. And I think that, you know, they're very, very fortunate to have him, even though nobody realizes exactly what he's doing.
If we flip it over on the other side, I mean, it couldn't be more different. Everybody knows Mike Elko. I got to tell you, what I don't know, why is he still on staff there in College Station? Why was? Because I didn't hear about programs putting the full court press on him, and I don't get that.
I think that if you're an Aggie and you're looking for any positive that comes out of COVID-19, it's the fact that athletic departments had no money to spend this offseason. Otherwise, he'd probably have a job as a head coach. He was courted by Temple last year, and he decided to stay because, honestly, A&M pays their assistants better than most teams pay their head coaches.
That's true.
One of the benefits of being a big Texas school. And, you know, he's making $2 million something a year, and it's difficult to sit there and look at an assistant and say he's worth every penny. But then again, you go take a look at the NCAA stat sheets and who's at the top of the rankings in most categories. A&M is, and it's been a long time since they've been that effective. So, you know, the money that he's getting paid and the praise he gets, he's worth.
Last thing I want to ask you about is if, you know, and I'll admit I was so wrong. It was COVID. Stuff happens. When Texas A&M's revised schedule came out, I was like, holy smokes, Aggies got jacked over by the league office. I was wrong about that. I look at the 21 schedule, and I mean, it's February 25th, Mark. But just cast your first eye towards the 21 schedule. It looks doable to me.
Yeah, I think that if there is an SEC West schedule out there, that A&M's is probably one of the more favorable. You know, you're going to go play Colorado. That's your big non-conference opponent. You're playing them not in Boulder, but in Denver.
Yeah.
So you get a neutral site game out of that. You get Alabama at your place, and it's not too late in the season. It's kind of mid-season, so they may still be working their wrinkles out offensively. You know, you get Auburn coming to your place, Mississippi State. You do play at Ole Miss, but they have a couple of rough games right before they play A&M. Your other East opponent is Missouri. At Mizzou.
Yeah, it's so not Florida or Georgia.
No, it's not Florida or Georgia. It's not great, but, considering your options, you won't turn it down either. South Carolina, I think, could be one of the worst teams in the conference, and they're coming to Kyle Field. You know, the two big problems are early October. You've got Alabama, but at least it's a Kyle Field, and then you close the season at LSU, and honestly, does anybody really have a gauge on what the Tigers are going to be like this year? Because I sure don't.
Not until I get definitive about the quarterback. Last thing I want to ask you, and I'm not just trying to lob a softball here, but this is a real thing here. You know, you don't work for PR for the, you know, for A&M, but I've been to a game out there, and it was pre, you know, renovations, but it's still the same crowd. First of all, I've never seen a home crowd that is as much about, you know, tradition and, you know, the pomp and circumstances of that crowd. And, you know, that's either good or bad, depending on who you are. But if you talk about home field advantage, especially at night, I don't know if it was a weird night, but when I was there, as windy as all get out. And even with the comfy, cushy new environs there, it's still that crowd. And, I mean, a Kyle Field at full capacity – that's a real thing, and that's expected on all corners. That's expected to happen beginning in September, and so that is a real advantage for them.
Oh, Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, anytime you get 105,000 people in there, it's an advantage for the home team. But when you get 105,000 Aggies in there, especially at night, there are very few places that get as loud as it will. And that's something that, you know, I know that the coaching staff and the players are looking forward to, because honestly, last year, with 27,000 or so, they were probably the loudest stadium in college football. The only place I saw a timeout or a false start due to crowd noise was at Kyle Field. So you get 105,000 in there with high expectations and a good football team, yeah, it could get pretty raucous. And hopefully Alabama will be a night game. I don't know if CBS is going to stick to their always Alabama LSU at night for their one primetime game. But frankly, if they don't, you know, they ought to reconsider, because I think that's the game of the year in the conference.
Well, you know, Mark, as I let you go, I'm thinking that maybe you did get the Jamel Showers thing right, but just the wrong year and wrong school, because I think he did win the job the next year at UTEP. So,
yes. If I'd been covering UTEP, I'd be dead on the money. Otherwise, no.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thank you for your time.
You bet. Take care, Chuck.
All right, Mark Passwaters from Rivals. And by the way, Jamel Showers, that was a good-looking kid. I mean, that was and I think he wound up, it might have been 14, but he wound up starting, I think, at UTEP. And it's the, you know, early version of the current transfer portal. I talked about that either yesterday or maybe Tuesday. Well, it wasn't Tuesday. That is one of the biggest advantages, is that you have programs that can get access to a kid like a dual threat, four-star like Jamel Showers. UTEP doesn't have a chance. That kid doesn't even return UTEP's call or text, or doesn't see the guy when the coach shows up at school. And he wound up going there to play. So, again, and I'm all for that. Absolutely am. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with a little bit of me, a little bit of Dan Matthews. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
The King of College Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
We've got to develop and set the foundation for this team this spring. You know, it gets done this spring. It doesn't get done in August. You set the foundation for this team this spring. We only got 7 signees that will join us in the summer. So our team is here.
I was talking about this yesterday. That was Dabo Swinney. He's on that list. Coach O, Saban. That was Dabo on just a press conference, media through, I believe he does it through Zoom, and he was saying this, no, team's here, says we're ready to roll, and that this is where you begin it. Clemson began on Monday, I believe, and remember, they normally start early. One thing that we discussed right here on this show last April, I think we were on it pretty soon was, oh, I can promise you there's going to be some programs starting their spring practice a little earlier next year, if they are allowed to make sure if a once in however 10, 20, 100-year thing happens, we're going to do it early just to get it in. Well, Clemson's starting even a little earlier than they did last year, and they got 9 practices. So he's talking about this team with only the 7 enrollees. By one accounting, Clemson has 11 starters on defense coming back, and not like 11 guys who started every single game last year, but 11 starters. Skowski was the one we talked about that really I was not expecting that, but I think it takes a leap. I think that defense takes a leap this year because they were just so dang young, and we were actually asked Chris Landry about that yesterday. And he was commenting on it that Venables, this was the fall off season. All right, 2020, what getting eliminated by Ohio State in a semifinal game. That was the, we got issues. We need to have an honest, look around the room season for Clemson. And the offense, I think, is actually going to be as high powered as it's been because they don't have the, I don't think they have the ability at least. What do they got? Everybody coming back except the left tackle. But I don't think they have the ability, at least not early in the season, to play a patient game. That if they think that they can get over on you, they can peel the top off your secondary, that's probably what they need to do until you adjust. It used to be it could be a much more patient approach. We'll beat you up 4, 5, 6 yards at a time, or we'll beat you up with Mike Williams or Deion Kane or whoever. Xavier Dye, we'll beat you up top that way. And I don't know that they have those same options. And again, at least not early. Maybe Lynn J. Dixon turns into that. Maybe that kid was Will Shipley, the 5-star. Everybody compares to Christian McCaffrey because he's not the biggest recruit and he's a white guy running back. So that's what everybody is. I don't know. Maybe he's the next Luke Staley. You're never going to hear a black high school senior running back compared to Luke Staley. Luke Staley, I think, is the last white running back to lead the NCAA in rushing, I believe. He might have been a pro, too, but he, broke his leg. Detroit drafted him. He broke his leg, and it never happened for him. But Will Shipley, you compare him to whoever you want to. And that kid, for whatever you can tell, looking at video of a kid playing on Friday nights, that kid, I think he's going to do more than contribute. That is just absolutely a weapon, man, no doubt about it. So it's just going to be a fun offense, just going to be different than we've seen. Not the ability to kind of, give the defense a breather if they need to. So, all right, Dan Matthews, how are you?
Oh, very good. And, I talked about this earlier in the week with the news from Jack Swarbrick, the AD at Notre Dame, saying, hey, look, if that video game comes out, we're not going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I said that there was a power play here by Notre Dame because, like it or not, you need Notre Dame on your side if you're going to have waves moved and you're going to have the tide turn and go the other direction that you want it to go. In this case, it's programs, athletes wanting NIL to go through and for the NCAA to finally say, all right, fine, full go for it, because it's trying right now at the state level. You've even now got former players in politics, Anthony Gonzalez, the former wide receiver at Ohio State, who was one of the ones trying to push it through, Marco Rubio, others as well. Jerry Morin is one that is also at the fight. And I bring this up too today because I saw breaking earlier today that Northwestern trying to say, oh yeah, hey, guess what? That video game comes out, we're not part of it. You need to have the power brokers, the Notre Dames, the Alabamas, much more with the Alabamas, the SECs, the Big Tens, everybody else look to them and say, hey, the tough guys are at the front of the line. We're the ones fighting this right now. Be the one in the back that kind of, if the outsiders rumble does break out at the park and you do need to fight, then yeah, you be there and fight. But for now, let us be the ones saying it out loud and let us be the ones saying, yeah, you put that video game out, you're not going to have the Alabama Crimson Tide part of it. You're not going to have Ohio State part of it. You're not going to have the teams that will make the game what it is for those fans to want to go pick it up and say, hey, I definitely want to play as my team and see how they're going to look this year. Isn't that the way that we always looked and saw how our season was going to be? The next part of it too, Senator Jerry Morin from Kansas throwing out yesterday, and one of the things he threw out is players being able to enter the draft without fear of losing their eligibility. Who else has talked about wanting the ability for players to be able to come back if indeed it doesn't work out for them. It's been Nick Saban. That's going to be the guy on that fight that's going to be the one that pushes it over the goal line and the one that makes people in decision-making say, yeah, you know what, maybe we don't need to punish these guys if they overshoot and they decide to try to go for the draft. And then they're white-knuckled on the final day of the draft trying to figure out, did I make a terrible mistake in doing this?
Yeah, there is a reason, and there's several of them, but there is a reason that you have a school like Notre Dame saying, until name, image, and likeness is squared away, we are not part of it. They don't want a repeat of, was it Ed O'Banion?
Yeah, Ed O'Banion. Yeah.
They don't want potential future legal exposure. All right, we're all so excited, and it's probably going to happen, so let's go ahead and do the game. And then for whatever reason, it doesn't happen, and there is legal exposure. Plus, holding out means you have the ability to negotiate a better deal.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save and save and win.